Title: Break Transient Control for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. In this lesson we're building that modern drum and bass drum sound where the hits are super controlled and consistent, but the tone still feels like it came from a dusty, lived-in break. Think modern punch, vintage attitude. The big idea is simple. Your break is going to provide character and groove, but it cannot be the thing that defines your main transients. That job belongs to a clean punch layer. Once you separate those roles, it gets way easier to make your drums loud, clear, and mix-ready without destroying the vibe. By the end, you'll have a two-layer drum system. A break layer for tone and swing, a punch layer for the kick and snare spine, and a drum bus that glues it together. And we'll do it with stock Ableton tools. Let's set up the session first. Set your tempo to something in the typical DNB range, like 174 BPM. Now create three tracks. One audio track called Break. One track called Punch, which can be the drum rack or audio, depending on how you like working. And then make a group for them, called Drum Bus. Quick tip. Select Break and Punch, then group them, so you can process and level them together later. Now step 1. Choose and prep a break, and warp it properly. Pick something classic in spirit, Amen-ish, Think, Funky Drummer, Hot Pants, anything with real movement. Drop it on the break track. In the clip view, turn warp on. For quick results, use Complex Pro. If it feels dull, you can experiment later with Beats Mode, but don't get stuck here. The key is, make sure live seg BPM is correct so the loop actually locks your tempo without weird stretching. Now here's where the workflow becomes modern. Slice it. Right-click the break clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. Slice by Transients, and Slice to Drum Rack. Now the break is a playable instrument, hit by hit. This matters, because modern transient control is way cleaner when you can treat each hit like its own event, rather than trying to tame a whole loop as one big blob. Step 2. Rebuild a rolling two-step from the slices. Open the MIDI clip for your sliced break rack and write a simple pattern. Keep it basic, something kickish on beat 1, and snare-ish hits on beat 2 and beat 4. Then add ghost notes. A really practical move is to place a tiny ghost hit about a 16th note before beat 2, at a low velocity. Add an offbeat hat slice, also low-ish velocity, just to keep the wheel turning. Then duplicate it out to 8 bars and add variations. Take out a kick in bar 4 so it breathes. In bar 8, add a little fill, like an extra snare slice or a pitch down slice. The goal isn't complexity, it's forward motion. In drum and bass, repetition is fine as long as it feels alive. Quick coach note, this is where micro timing can keep things human without messing up the punch. Keep the main snares on grid, then nudge only ghost notes and hats. If you want it laid back and rolling, try pushing them late by 5 to 15 milliseconds. If you want urgency, pull them early by 5 to 10. Subtle moves, huge vibe. Now step 3. Transient control on the break. This is the heart of the lesson. On the break rack track, build a chain like this. Drum bus, then saturator, then EQ8, then glue compressor, and a utility for gain staging. Optionally, we'll add a gate in a moment, but we'll talk about placement. Start with drum bus. This is your peak manager for the break. Set drive somewhere around 5 to 15%. Crunch low, like 0 to 10, just a touch. Boom is usually off for breaks. Now the key control. Set transient negative, somewhere around minus 10 to minus 25. This shaves those spiky peaks that make breaks sound exciting solo, but painful and messy once you try to push them loud. Damp can sit around 5 to 15% if the top is getting scratchy. Teacher tip. Don't worship the knob value. Listen for crest factor, meaning the difference between peak and body. If the break still feels jumpy, the peaks are too tall relative to the meat. If it feels dead, you flattened it too much. You want controlled, not erased. Now saturator, for vintage hair without killing the attack. Choose analog clip or soft sign. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then level match with the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. The reason we put drum bus before saturator is simple. Saturation exaggerates spikes. If you control peaks first, the saturation reads as warmth and thickness, not brittle harshness. Now EQ8 on the break. Typical moves. High pass somewhere around 30 to 60 Hz to get rid of rumble. Dip a bit of mud in the 200 to 400 zone, maybe minus 2 to minus 5 dB with a wide curve. If the break is biting too hard, take a couple dB out around 6 to 10 kHz. And if you went pretty negative on transients and it got too polite, you can add a tiny presence bump around 2 to 4 kHz. Tiny is the word. This is break character, not lead vocal. Now glue compressor, lightly. This is not where we smash. Try ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 3 milliseconds for more clamp, or 10 milliseconds if you want more punch to slip through. Release on auto, or set something like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Leave makeup off and do your own gain staging afterward. Now step 6 is actually the missing piece for modern control, so let's insert it, gating the brake tails. Vintage brakes often have long rooms and hats that smear the rhythm. Put a gate before saturation, so the saturation doesn't bring up those tails. Set the threshold so it tightens the tail but keeps your ghost notes. Attack fast, like 0.3 to 1 millisecond. Hold maybe 10 to 30 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds and time it to the groove. Listen for that breathing effect in 16ths or 8ths at 174. If the groove starts sounding chopped and robotic, back off the threshold or lengthen the release. Cool. Your brake is now controlled and still vibey. Now step 4. Build the punch layer, the modern spine. On the punch track, load a drum rack and pick clean one-shots. A short, punchy kick, a tight snare with a strong fundamental and a clear crack. If you want, layer two snares, one for body, one for snap. The punch chain can be a Q8, then drum bus, then optional saturator and optional compression. On a Q8, keep it practical. For the kick, watch that boxy zone around 200 to 300 Hz. A small cut there often cleans it up. Don't go crazy boosting sub, because the bass will want that space too. For the snare, shape the body around 180 to 250 carefully, the crack around 2 to 5 kHz, and maybe a tiny bit of air around 8 to 12 kHz if it needs lift. Now drum bus on the punch is the opposite of the brake. Set transient positive, like plus 5 to plus 20. Drive stays conservative, 0 to 10%, depending on how clean your sample is. Damp a touch if it's too sharp. This contrast is the whole trick. Brake transients get smoothed, punch transients get enhanced. That's how you get modern control with vintage tone, instead of two layers fighting for the same job. Now step 5, add vintage character without ruining punch, using a parallel return. Create a return track called Vintage Crush. On this return, add saturator first. Drive it harder, like 6 to 12 dB, analog clip, soft clip on. Then auto filter in low pass 24 mode, cut off somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz, with a touch of resonance. This is you intentionally rolling off modern fizz. Then add redux, but subtle. Downsample around 1.2 to 2.5, and bit reduction 0 to 2. You're aiming for texture, not video game destruction. Then finish with a glue compressor. Ratio 4 to 1. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release auto, and aim for 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. This makes the crushed signal feel like a cohesive, dirty layer rather than spitty chaos. Now send your break to this return. Something like minus 18 to minus 10 dB on the send. Send the punch very lightly, or not at all. Most of the time, the punch should stay clean and forward, and the brake gets the grime. Extra trick if you want that old playback air loss, but still expensive, after the low pass, add a tiny high shelf boost with a Q8, like plus 1 dB around 8 to 10 kHz. It sounds backward, but it creates that smooth sheen after the roll off, instead of harsh brightness. Now step 7. Finish on the drum bus group. On the group, do small, safe moves, first in a Q8 if needed, maybe a tiny low shelf dip around 60 to 90 Hz if the kick and bass are stepping on each other, then glue compressor, attack 10 milliseconds, release auto, ratio 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on average. This is glue, not punishment, then a limiter as a safety, not as your loudness plan. Set ceiling to minus 0.3 dB. Aim for 1 to 2 dB of limiting most of the time. If you're slamming it, go back and fix balance earlier in the chain. And while you're writing, keep your drum bus peaking around minus 6 dBFS before the limiter. That gives you headroom for bass and mastering later. Now, quick coach notes that will save you hours. First, decide who owns each frequency band. A reliable split is sub and low punch, roughly 0 to 120 Hz, belongs to the punch kick and your bass. Low mids, 150 to 400. Should be owned by either snare body or brake body, not both. And the very top, 8 to 16 kHz, is usually hats and rides, often not the brake. If your brake is bright and wide up top, it will feel exciting, but it will also fatigue your mix fast. Second, do a fast reality check, switch to mono and turn the volume down. If the groove disappears at low volume in mono, your brake is probably carrying too much perceived punch or facey room. Pull it down, tighten it, or narrow it. Utility on the break with width around 60 to 90% can instantly improve translation. Third, commit early. Once your break chain feels right, resample it to audio. Not only does it save CPU, it speeds up decisions, and slicing or warping the processed break often sits better than the raw one. Now let's talk arrangement for a second, because this technique shines when you automate it. For a 16-bar idea, bars 1 to 4, run break only, filtered and a little mysterious. Maybe just hint the punch snare. Bars 5 to 8, bring in the punch kick and snare properly and maybe lower the vintage crush send slightly, so it tightens. Then bars 9 to 16, the drop, full punch, break slightly quieter than the punch, often 3 to 8 dB lower, and add a 1-bar fill at bar 16 by reordering slices or pitching one down, and automate musically. In busy sections, make the break transient slightly more negative so it stays controlled. During fills, push the vintage crush send up for chaos, then snap it back down on the one so the drop hits clean. Common mistakes to avoid while you're dialing this in. If you overdo negative transient on the break, it loses life and the groove flattens. If you saturate before controlling peaks, you'll create harshness and spitty hits. If you don't assign rolls with EQ, you'll get papery snares and crowded hats. If you gate too hard, you'll delete the ghost notes that create that jungle chatter. And if you crank the parallel crush because it sounds cool solo, it'll probably turn to mush when the bass comes in. Always check with bass playing. Before we wrap, here's a quick 20-minute practice you can do right now. Pick a break, slice it to drum rack. Program an 8-bar rolling pattern with just slices. Add a punch kick and snare on top. Set break drum bus transient to about minus 15. Set punch drum bus transient to about plus 12. Create the vintage crush return and blend until you feel grit, but the transients still read clean. This audio version is shortened for playback.